Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, Getaway Friday, May the 15th, 2026, halfway through the month of May. 13 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And we got a message during the break there from one of our listeners. They were driving, so they could not weigh in. But here is the weigh-in from last hour's conversation. The best examples we have of genetics influencing personality traits are behaviors are the studies that look at twins separated at birth and raised in different environments. Look up the Jim twins. There were also some crazy experiments done in the 60s that purposely separated twins for studies. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And again, we thank Adam Lepp, the computer man, for calling in. All right, so now, speak your piece.
I'd have to look up the Jim brothers. I don't know anything about it.
Well, no, I think what we're all just saying is nothing is 100%.
Yes! Okay, look. The best way I could describe it is genetics lays like the foundation, okay?
Yeah.
And then nurture, the environment, determines basically the outcomes.
I don't think that's true, though. I don't think it's true at all. Because, again, back to the learning disabilities thing, I think if your father had a learning disability and they have two kids, one does have the learning disability, one does not.
Yes, I mean, you could pick up, like, I mean, there are things you just can't do anything about. But, like,
right.
Yeah.
So but I don't think you get what I'm saying in regard to where this all started about the mother who's been married many times having a daughter who gets engaged right out of high school being a genetic trait as well.
That's genetic.
Well, because you're not listening. What I'm saying is the reason that mother, now, yes, is some of it being in the same household? I'm sure it is, and seeing men come and go like candy.
I think
like
that's
candy.
Probably the majority of it.
That's a good part of it. But you also have to wonder again, why was the mother married five times? And I bet you will find a personality trait in there, a personality glitch, a personality flaw, as I like to say, a character flaw, that is genetic. They might have high levels of anxiety. They might have high levels of depression. They might have high levels of insecurity in themselves. And those are genetic traits that you do pass off to people. So if you have passed those off to your daughter, not only have they seen what you've
dealt with.
But you
can also just give people those. People who don't have self-esteem issues.
I cannot give you genetic anxiety.
I can definitely, not genetic anxiety, I guess, but I can certainly get anxiety and get diagnosed with anxiety.
See, this is why I think
like,
people...
Or like self-esteem problems. Like you don't have to have...
Self-esteem's different.
You don't have to have... So, like, you could be the most confident person in the world. You go to a public school and you get bullied, like, you know,
yes,
12 years straight. I think your self-esteem's going to be pretty demolished at that rate.
Right, but I think your confidence is more likely to bring you back up because you were a confident person. Whereas somebody who had no self-esteem to begin with, they are going to be wrecked for the rest of their life. But I think what you're failing to realize, see, I think this is the problem with depression in general. And I was just having this conversation the other day with somebody who admits they have depression, genetic depression, and admits they need to be medicated for it. Absolutely 100% admits they need to be medicated for it, but feels their insurance will not cover it, so they're not going to go to the doctor to get it done. And I said, well, what's upsetting in your life right now? What's wrong? Nothing. My life is actually great. My life is better than it's ever been. But it's a disease. It's not a trait that you pick up because of the way your life's going. And people miss-see depression all the time. And I said to that person, if you were diagnosed with diabetes, would you take the medication? Well, sure. Well, but not for depression? No. Well, okay, here we are. And that is why depression, and I believe, by the way, this is Mental Health Awareness Month, of all things, that is the problem with depression and anxiety. People believe it's triggered by something. It's not triggered by something.
Not always.
No, not always at all. Not even 90% of the time.
Something has to activate it.
No.
Yes.
It does not. Sorry, it doesn't. I've known many people who had depression who were at the height of their life when depression came in.
Not always, but sometimes.
I'm just telling you. So the point is, but people treat depression like that, like something had to trigger it. Something had to make you
not
this
had
way.
To, could have.
But doesn't. And that's why it has a stigma. Well, what triggered the diabetes? Were you just eating too much candy?
Yeah.
No, that's what people thought in the 50s. No.
You can give yourself diabetes by eating too much sugar.
Oh, God. And that's the majority of the diabetes cases.
I don't know.
No, not even close. Not even close. And heart disease is all about that, right? There's no genetic component to heart disease. It's all about eating those Big Macs.
Some of it.
No. And
there's no way that heart disease is the number one killer in the United States, and it's just because, oh, we got bad hearts around these parts. No!
Not 100%, but a good portion.
I'd say more than half are probably just bad eating.
And you know what the biggest contributor is to heart disease? Stress. Now, where do you learn that from?
Stress?
Not even food.
Well, if you grew up in an environment where every small little thing would, like, stress your parents, when you grow up, every small little thing might just be stress to you.
But you can't see the correlation between the fact that your parents are stressed, you're stressed, you don't live in nearly the situation that a homeless person does, but they don't seem to be as stressed. Wonder why that is. Well, it's because it's your genetics. It's your personality.
Or maybe your parents don't have a support system. And you, when you are, you could like get older and end up with a support system, and then you wouldn't have the problem.
Okay. Okay, here's the thing, I guess. Both adoptive families independently named their son James, and both went by the name Jim. Both men married women named Linda, divorced, and then remarried women named Betty. Both had a son named James Allen with slightly different spellings. As children, both had a dog named Toy. Both worked in law enforcement as deputy sheriffs. Both drove light blue Chevrolets, smoked cigarettes, drank the same brand of beer, and enjoyed woodworking. Unbeknownst to each other, both vacationed on the exact same three-block stretch of Florida Beach.
All right. Epigenetic changes. Environmental factors can physically alter how your genes are expressed without changing your actual DNA sequence. Severe stress or early childhood trauma triggers chemical tags like DNA methylation, probably, because T-I-O-N. Anyways, to attach to your DNA. This permanently alters or suppresses genes responsible for mood regulation, brain plasticity, and stress tolerance. Those would be environmental factors.
Yeah, there are. Nobody's denying that.
You literally just denied it. Not that, but you did.
No, I am not saying that the place you live in cannot alter your mood. But what I'm saying is that there absolutely is a genetic component to every personality trait you have. What is love? You keep going around asking people, what is love? Well, why does everybody have a different answer?
I haven't gone around asking anybody, what is love?
Yes, you did. You said nobody has the same answer when you ask them, what is love?
When?
Now, why is that?
When did this happen? I mean, we haven't talked about this in a long time.
No, but you went through this at one point. You always would say, well, what is your definition of love? What is love to you? What does that mean? And everybody's got a different definition. Now, why does everybody have a different definition for the exact same thing? They know exactly what you're talking about.
It's not the same thing. They know what word you're talking about.
So you don't believe they have the same feelings?
No, probably not.
Okay, well, why not?
At the very least, if they do, then I guess it's just...
You know what a friend is, and you know what not a friend is.
Yeah.
You're doing different things with that person. You know what the person is alluding to when you say, what is love?
I mean, you just like them more than other people, I guess.
Okay, well, why do they all have different answers when describing it?
Because it's not... I don't think it's a real thing to some extent.
There you go.
There's no thing called love that you can point to.
Exactly. And that's the same thing with all of this. If you said define stress.
I'm just saying that it's about 50-50. You make it sound like 100% of everything that happens in your life.
No,
all outcomes
not.
Are genetic.
Absolutely not.
It's more like 50-50.
Well, no.
Yes.
No.
It's more like 50-50.
Listen, I would... No, I did not say it was. I said, yes, 50-50. I'm not saying what you're alluding that I'm saying. I'm not saying that everything is genetic and you can't reverse anything at all. I'm saying you can. And that matter of fact, that's the goal in life, is to try to stop it. If you know you have alcoholic parents, probably not a good idea for you to drink. If you know that your parents died, what's the first thing the doctor says to you when you go see them? When did your mother die? When did your father die? Might want to avoid those things. Might want to get checked early for those things. Early detection might save your life. Maybe you don't. You don't. It's all maybe, but there's a higher risk for you. That's the point that I'm making. If you are in a higher risk area, if your father had lung cancer and it was not triggered by anything that they can find, you better be checked for lung cancer because you have a higher risk of developing it. And if you get checked for it because you know he had it and they find yours earlier than they found his, guess what? You might live longer than he did. Good idea to do that. Not roll those dice. Now, if you worked in a smoke shop, that might hurt you too. But your father's genetics didn't help you any.
I'm just saying, I think it's more like 50-50.
Okay, well, roll those dice if you want. That's fine. If your mother died of a heart attack, you better be watching out. You're at much higher risk of anybody else.
No, I'm not. Okay. It's not like 100. Okay, let me okay, I guess by that logic, it's more like 100-100. It's when I say it's 50-50, I don't mean like 50% of the time it's genetics and 50%. No, I mean like they interact. They are like, you know, the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
They work together in tandem.
Right. So going back to my original point this morning, the daughter gets engaged right out of high school when the mother's been married 5 times. Absolutely.
I think that has more to do with the experience.
You're trying to jump in because you know I'm right. You just explained my right. What I said was, living in a house where men kept coming and going, of course that had an impact on it. Because the daughter thought that's what you're supposed to do. Absolutely that had impact. But there is also the impact on what caused the mother to have that sort of life anyway, and that is her genetic nature. Was she a depressive person? Was she an anxiety-ridden person? Was she just hard to live with because she had more stress in her life?
Okay, yes.
What was it?
But,
yes.
Yeah, but if it was because of loneliness or anxiety or depression, I would think that it is just expressed in this way because there's the experience of, they're tied together. So
right.
But it's not like you're genetically inclined to have many husbands. It's like you're genetically inclined to have something that leads you to having.
No, but I believe you have a higher risk. I believe you absolutely have a higher risk if you have those illnesses.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because if I had depression, I thought I was just like the worst thing in all of humanity, and then all of a sudden there's this somebody who came up to me and, oh, you know, you're the greatest thing on earth.
Right.
And, yeah, I probably feel like a 12,
right.
You know?
But you know what? The first time they yell at you, that marriage is over. You're more likely to bust that marriage up than somebody who would be with a more logical mind.
I agree, yeah.
Right. So here, that's genetic. That's a problem.
But again, I think it's because of the genetic, like, you're more inclined to, yes, the depression, anxiety, that whole thing. I think that the multiple marriages or the marriage at a high school is just an expression of those traits.
Right.
I don't think it's, like,
I don't think you learn those from your parents.
But you could also just go, like, but there's all kinds of, yes, that specific, yes, but that way of dealing with it is what you learn from your parents. Like, you could just, like, a lot of people who are, like, depressed and whatnot, they just drink a lot. And then and then that will be the outlet that they get from their parents via experience. Or sometimes they just hang out with, like, shaky people. Because, you know, shaky people, for some reason, are, like, the ones who always want to, like, if you've ever gone to a new school, like, a lot of the times, the people who come up and talk to you first are not the kids you want to
know. How many times have you met, now, you are an example of it. They say, this is your brother, this is your sister, what are the similarities? Grew up in the same household, with the same parents, during the same time frame. Totally different people. Now, why? You all experience the same thing from the same people?
No!
You didn't?
No, well, in the household, even in the household, no! I mean, I've said to you before that I think my parents favored my sister.
You think that, but I bet they would deny it.
No, my brother agrees with me.
Yeah, but they...
grandma agrees with me. My aunt agrees with me. Like, literally, I can lay out the whole family that Kaylee is the favorite.
So you believe your sister's different personality is based upon different treatment from your parents?
Not entirely. Different treatment in school? I mean, like, you know...
So she just got lucky?
No. Like... When I was in school, I wasn't really interested in the whole learning aspect of it. Because it was boring.
But why was she?
I had to sit there and listen to some dude sit up at the whiteboard going, do-do-do-do-do.
But why was she?
Boring. Because, I don't know.
Same parents, same house.
She did her homework. I didn't do my homework.
But what's the difference?
I took after my brother more so than anything.
Okay, so if nature...
Because my brother also... Like, you would give me a syllabus at the beginning of the year, and I'd find out that, like, tests were 75% of the grade. If you told me tests were 75% of my grade, instantly, I'm not turning in a single homework assignment.
Yeah, but
I want to pass those tests.
But again,
I want to pass every class about a 70.
Again, if you're talking about the atmosphere being everything.
No!
So you're... Okay, then we agree.
Me and my sister do agree on a lot. She just, like, there's not a whole lot really different between me and my sister.
But she just did better.
Did better.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, that's what you said. She was treated differently. She got better grades. She went on to college. She had that treatment that was better by your parents. So she just got lucky? She was better looking? I don't know. Why'd she get this better treatment?
She was popular in school. I wasn't popular
in
school.
Okay, so what drove that?
Maybe the want to go to college was driven by the fact that she was popular. Like, I don't know. I'm not, like, there's no, like, I mean, you can't back, it's not a book.
No, but you all came from the same place, so why not all be the same person?
Because we didn't all come from the same place.
Well, you would live with different people?
I've been to 3 different school districts. 4 right. Different if you want to count Tri Rivers. We moved so many times. And by the way, I don't know if you knew this. My brother, he's my stepbrother.
Right. Well, I did know that, yes.
Okay, so like...
That's not hard to tell. But I'm saying that... She didn't know any of that?
Who?
Your sister.
Well, I don't think you take into account your environmental factors and then do a whole bunch of math in your head and then make a decision.
Right.
I think that
right.
Your brain
think
just
you
kind of... I think your brain does it, like, instantly and then gives you, an output.
So she didn't go to different schools?
Not as many as me and Caleb did, no.
Well, how many could there be different? How many years are in between you and your sister?
Two. Well, one and a half. So two school years.
So everything stopped.
One school year, I guess.
At that point. When the sister came along, the whole atmosphere changed.
My sister never went to Tri-Rivers.
That was your choice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I hated River Valley. So there was that.
She didn't.
Apparently.
Why?
Because, probably because, truth be told, like I said, I wasn't popular in school. She was.
Okay, so what drives popularity?
I really couldn't tell you.
There you go. I think it's a combination. An outgoing personality will probably be more popular. An inward personality, probably not so much. What makes somebody argumentative? Not somebody argumentative. There are all kinds of things that drive that. And you cannot say that all of those are the household that you came from because you have people...
I didn't say... it's not like... I mentioned specifically the parents because you spend most time around your parents. Literally anything. The friends you hang out with. The conversations you...
Of course.
Every experience you have in life not determines, but influences the outcome.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm glad we agree.
But you think your personality is not driven by genetics?
I think your personality is like a foundation. I don't even know personality, really. I don't think personality is an experience.
Anxiety is a genetic trait. 90% of the time. If you are an anxious person, chances are you're not going to be the life of the party. If you're not the life of the party, chances are you're not going to be as popular as somebody who is outgoing in the life of the party. And all of that bubbles back. Now, does it bubble back in different ways? Of course it does. And of course the household you live in does affect that. But you cannot say that genetics does not play 50% or better part in
50%.
That.
50%.
Well, regardless, it plays a big part. And it plays a big part in everything you do. It plays a big part in your marriages. It plays a big part in your relationships.
I'm not arguing. 50-50, yes.
That's what I said earlier.
Why are we still arguing then?
I don't know. That's you're the one who came in and said, I don't think it has anything to do with the person's genetics. I think it has to do with what she saw coming in and out of the house.
Because you made it sound like the fact that that there was just a gene hidden away somewhere in her body that she was like, oh, I'm going to marry multiple people. No.
No, I think there is a gene.
There's probably something like anxiety, depression, or loneliness or something. And then,
right,
and then that expresses itself as this.
No, I don't even think I said anything near that. I said, I think that her mother's behavior that she modeled was a factor. But I also think being her
daughter...
That
is not what was said.
We can replay it.
Replay it!
Because I did. I said, I did not say it in those words, but I said the fact that her mother was married 5 times did have an impact on her. Yes.
But you mentioned genetics.
Exact. Yes, because I do believe part of it's genetics as well.
But the way you phrased it, it sounded like there was just a gene in her head that was like, yeah, I'm going to marry like 7 guys
times. No, because I went right into saying, did her mother have depression? What caused her mother to have these 5 marriages? Was it because she felt lonely? Was it because she felt stress? Was it because she was any number of things? And those things are passed on to you. And you said, no, that can't be. That's not a thing.
Yes, depression, anxiety, and those kinds of things are.
Then there you are.
But they can also, but they don't have to be active, if that makes sense. Something has to trigger them.
No, they don't, but what I'm looking at is the end result here. I'm looking at the daughter getting engaged right out of high school of the mother who was married 5 times. I'm saying something's going on here.
I think the expression of the marrying of multiple men and different times is expression. I think that maybe there's a genetic trait behind it. That is just, this is just the expression of the genetic traits.
From one of the listeners this morning, listening to this banter is stressing me out. That's a good one. Well, it's not politics. Listen, we've moved away from politics this morning. I don't think we've offended anybody with political things this morning. I don't know. I think these conversations are interesting. We don't argue during the break.
No?
No, it's just the show. But I think they're fascinating. I do. I think genetics is fascinating because I think about my own family. I think about families I've been around, and I do think, why did that happen? I think, boy, that's very interesting. And I don't think it's bad that she's engaged out of high school. Good for her. Happy marriage. I hope it works out. I hope you don't turn into what your mother turned into.
Oh, yes. Why would you hope that?
No, but you look at the mother and you're saying, the track record's not so good. But I hope that she is able to break it, which again would not signify 100% genetics, because then it would say that she's going to bust it up and it's going to be bad. No, she can model a good marriage, but she's going to have to work harder than somebody else to do that.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right.
I think the reason that I don't want to be married and never did is a mixture. I think it's a mixture of the fact that I did not live in a house of divorce. Never did. I didn't have any stepbrothers or stepsisters. I didn't have any of that. So I think I didn't need to recreate what they did because I saw what a functional marriage looked like. I didn't have to shuttle back and forth on the weekends or go to 18 Thanksgivings or do any of that. I had good Halloweens and Thanksgivings and Christmases and all that and birthdays. I never felt the need to recreate that because I was a part of a functional nuclear family. I didn't need to do that again. So that's environment. But also, my parents didn't get married till they didn't get married out of high school. So that's probably more, I don't think they were insecure people. I think insecure people tend to get married earlier because they need somebody in their life. Both of my parents were over the age of 20 when they got married.
What are we even talking about?
The connection of genetics versus real life situations. The house you live in versus the genetics. I think part of that's the reason that I didn't want to get married was genetic, and I think partially it was because of the house I lived in.
Okay, I don't know.
Now, you can talk about your house. It sounds a little messy.
I mean, no, largely, in the, I mean, yeah. I'm never, no divorces. I've never, I've...
And guess what? You don't want to be married. Wonder why.
Like,
because you don't need to recreate... People who don't have stable childhoods, they're the ones who tend to want to create a stable childhood. They want to create their own family because they don't feel their family was functional. I see that all the time. Look at somebody who had step-parents. 9 times out of 10, they're inviting their parents over for Thanksgiving. They're not going to mom and dad's anymore. Mom and dad are coming to them. You think that's just a coincidence?
We go to my grandma's house.
Right, because your family didn't have that issue. But if your parents were separated, you had step-parents, bet your parents would be trying to create the Thanksgivings and the Christmases. Because they didn't come from a functional home. The nuclear family.
Ow.
There you go. So, I think it's all very interesting.
I
think boys are treated differently than girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. There's all kinds of functionalities.
50-50.
Okay. By the way, let's see. Take the ACE quiz and learn what it does and doesn't. Doesn't mean. Now, what is this? Okay. Well, you got to take the quiz to get a score.
What is it?
Well, here's the quiz. Are you ready?
Oh, why are we doing a quiz?
Before your 18th birthday, okay, here you go. This is for you. Before your 18th birthday, did a parent or adult in the household often or very often swear at you, insult you, put you down, or humiliate you?
What is this?
Did this happen?
No.
That didn't happen?
No.
I think you're lying on the quiz already.
Yep, my parents beat me left, right, and sideways. I had black eyes every weekend.
That's not what that said. It said, did they swear at you, insult you, put you down, or humiliate you? Nobody said beat you.
Physically hurt.
Yeah, but that's part of it.
Literally the only thing I see. Physically hurt.
That's the... Or. I didn't think we needed to bring that up, but maybe you have some physical pain in your life.
There's no... I mean, my parents cuss... But like that,
at you?
No.
Never sweared at you?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Well, I think this quiz is going to be jacked up right off the bat, but okay.
What do you think? You think my mom's just evil or something?
No, that's not
my
evil.
My parents are cursing at me, telling me I'm dumb
I
as
did
black.
Not,
you know,
I
like,
did not say that. I said, were you ever humiliated?
By my parents, no.
Okay, so there you. Then what are you complaining about?
Well, because you act like I lied. You act like my parents are evil or something.
I didn't say your parents were evil.
Literally, the first thing I said was no. You're like, oh well, wrong.
I
right
just don't
say.
Listen. Okay. Anyway.
All right.
Let's put a no to that one. Okay. Before your 18th birthday, did a parent or adult in the household often or very often push, grab, step, or throw something at you?
It's the same thing.
Okay. Before your 18th birthday, did an adult or person at least 5 years older than you ever touch... Oh, God. Here you go.
No.
Okay. Before your 18th birthday, did you often or very often feel that no one in your family loved you or thought you were important or special?
No.
Oh, that's a lie.
I mean,
you got that middle child syndrome.
No, I mean, I'd get calls, and, I don't know, on my birthday and whatnot.
Okay. Before your 18th birthday, did you often feel that you didn't have enough to eat, not wear dirty clothes, or no one was there to protect you?
Before my 18th birthday?
Yep.
No.
Did this happen after your 18th birthday?
No, but my parents, we were pretty broke growing up, so I know we had to go to my grandma's to eat sometimes, but it's not like it was relayed to us that we didn't have the money to buy food. We just kind of...
But you knew.
No. Yeah, now I know. But like then it was more like we was going to my grandma's for dinner. Like that's really all I thought.
Okay. Before your 18th birthday, was a biological parent ever lost to you through divorce, abandonment, or another reason?
Nope.
Okay. Before your 18th birthday, was your mother or stepmother...
How many questions is this thing?
I don't know.
It says up in the top left.
Where?
Top left?
I don't see anything.
What do you mean? Top left of the blue box.
Oh, 10. There's 10. We're on number 7.
Okay.
Often or very often pushed, grabbed, stepped, or had something thrown at them.
Is this the same question? We already had this question.
Stepmother's in this one.
Oh, I don't have a stepmother.
This is about your mother. Mother or stepmother? Did she ever push you, grab, slap, or had something thrown at her?
No.
Before you ended birthday, did you live with anyone who was a problem drinker or drugger?
No.
Was your member of your household depressed or mentally ill or attempt suicide?
My grandma, maybe.
Well, was this your household? Were they in your household?
We lived with my grandma for a while.
Okay, we'll put a yes on that one. Before your 18th birthday, did a household member go to prison?
No.
Okay. Your score is 1.
That's what up.
Okay, well, what's 1 mean?
I don't know. I didn't even know what we were doing.
Well, it's a test.
Yeah, but I still don't know.
Well, what? Okay. So where are the things here? What do the scores tell you?
Yeah, I have no clue.
Well, now I have no idea. I don't even know what the scores tell you. What's a 1 mean?
Is that an article?
According to the higher your score is likely to be, the higher your risk of various health problems later. Well, there you go. Look at that. So, there you go.
Yeah, it's nurture.
Yeah.
All right. Expressions.
But do you think that people were acting that way towards you didn't affect you mentally? Like, suicide's on there.
Well, I don't know anybody who's committed suicide, so we...
No, but I'm...
I don't know. What's the question?
I'm telling you, you can track suicides, and usually if somebody commits suicide, you can find another suicide in their family.
Yeah, yes.
You know, it's just luck? Even though they never met the person?
No, as a matter of fact, there's a philosopher, can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he wrote a book, he was a nihilist, I think, nihilism. He's either a nihilist or a cynic, I get him mixed up kind of, but I think he was a nihilist, because that's like nothing matters. But he wrote a whole book talking about how life was suffering, and a whole big thing, and then he killed himself after the book. But the reason I brought that up, because... I don't remember, I think it's like, I don't remember the exact, like, the lineage, but, like, he had had, like, 2 or 3 other suicides in his family.
I'll tell you what.
So they think it was probably a mental thing.
There's a famous family, Hemingway. The Hemingway family has suicides all throughout it.
Like, Ernest Hemingway?
Yeah, I think he committed suicide.
I don't know. Is he the only one I know?
And they all suffer from terrible depression. And they didn't even know each other. And the Graham family, which was a very popular wrestling family in Florida, they ran the Florida territory. The father committed suicide, the son committed suicide, and the grandson committed suicide. The grandson never knew the grandfather. Now, you think they would be less likely to commit suicide?
Oh, I don't know if that's the case.
Well, yeah, they did. They all committed suicide.
Well, yes, but I would assume that one of them had... depression, and then gave it, you know, as you know, yeah, you give it to the
but
others.
Why go to, there's a lot of people with depression who don't commit suicide.
Well, the one guy saw his grandpa do it.
But actually, it wasn't in a row. See? That's what's interesting.
What do you mean it wasn't
in a row? The grandfather committed suicide, then the grandson committed suicide, then... the son committed suicide.
Oh, well, the son probably committed suicide because he got to see his dad and his son commit suicide.
See, but is that right? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he probably wouldn't...
You think he'd be less likely after all that trauma?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like...
He didn't commit suicide when his father committed suicide, but when his son did...
No, I mean, like, if everybody... No, I don't... It's not exactly the same thing. I don't know. Maybe it is. If everybody I know was dead, and I was the only one that I knew...
His wife was still alive, and I think he had daughters.
Okay, well, yeah.
All I'm saying is, if you go back... Why did the grandson commit suicide? His grandfather, who he never knew, did. His father did not. And he does... And there's no connection there. And then after the grandson did, and the son got to see what he went through when his father did, and then he had to go through what his son did, he still went through and did it for the people he left behind.
Well, it's not your problem anymore.
That is your problem.
No. Look, I have now pawned off every problem I have ever had to you.
To me?
Being my family.
Well, no, because you got a one on the old test there.
No. I mean, like, if I were to kill myself, every problem I ever had in life is just gone. I'm not thinking about a whole lot of anything anymore.
No, but what you do think about that before you do that, I think, because you know you're killing yourself.
Yeah, but it's not... Yeah,
you know what you're doing to those people.
Yeah, but once it's lights out, I mean, you know...
Joan Rivers used
to... You pawned it off to everybody else.
I interviewed Joan Rivers twice, and her husband famously committed suicide. And
by the way, I do not suggest committing suicide is not good. Don't
no,
do
no,
it,
but
please.
She used to say... People used to say, well, when you die, will you be happy to see your husband again, Edgar? And he said, I'll kill him because of the pain it caused her. She said, what it did to my daughter, what it did to me.
If that's not a him problem.
No, but it was his legacy. He knew that. He committed suicide because he felt she was angry at him. He didn't want to go back and face that.
Oh, come on.
What? I think he said did suicide tapes.
No, that's crazy. I think the whole world, I don't know, I think that the whole world was mad.
I think if somebody committed suicide, I don't care how close they were to me, I would not have warm feelings about them and want to see them again one day.
Why?
Because of what they, you know, they made that choice. And they caused you a lot of pain.
Yeah, but it's their life.
No, it's your life.
Yeah. Well, you see, exactly. They pawned the problems off on you.
Right, and you want to see them again? You're happy about that?
I mean, you know.
No, I don't think you are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're happy about it, but I'd want to see him again.
Not me.
Why wouldn't you want to see him
because
again?
Because look what you did. You took that way out. You took that way out that would cause the most destruction to my life and would cause the most destruction to the people that I care about life. What in the world do I want to see you again for?
Well, because at one point you cared about him.
Well, that broke that.
Well,
the point that broke that's when you committed suicide. You think you want to run into your ex-wives when you die? Hey, it's good to see you again. We're dead now. We can all be happy. No! There are people you might have feelings toward at one point in your life that just, it goes away.
I think people just need to forgive people.
Oh, yes.
Move on.
It just doesn't work that way. It's not about forgive. It's just about, I don't have any interest in you anymore.
Because they're dead.
Not always. Your ex-wives aren't all dead.
Well, I mean, your ex-wives aren't you.
Right, but you, at one point, they were the most important person in your life, and now you have no interest in even being around them. Feelings change.
Your ex-wives aren't you.
Right, you want to be around you. I'm not denying that.
I mean, like, if one of my cousins died, I'm gonna go see his like, you know, girlfriend, wife person.
I'm just dying. And suicide are two different things.
Okay, well, if he committed suicide, I'm probably not gonna go see her. What do I gotta go see her for?
Right, which is what I'm saying.
I mean, I got nothing against her, I guess, but, like, you're not my cousin.
By the way, if you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. I don't know. I just think that there are certain things that... What reason would I want to see you again? Ask you why you did it?
Well, I guess it depends on who it is.
I don't know. It depends, I guess.
If it was your dad, I assume you love your dad. If it was your mom, I'd assume you love your mom. If it was a brother or sister, I'd assume you love
those
people.
I don't know. I think you feel abandoned if they committed suicide. What'd you do that for?
Well, probably because they had bigger fish to fry, at least at the very least, in their heads than you do.
Well, I don't know about that.
I
do not think suicide
imagine,
is a good option.
No, I agree.
No matter what your situation is.
I agree. Terrible option.
So I don't believe that's tough to get over.
But look, yes, I agree. Bad option. But look, if you felt like the world was caving in on you and there was nothing you could do to get out of any of this, I mean, like, you know, I mean, a lot of people commit suicide. I mean, the world, like, you literally, right. Like, you almost feel like the world is ending.
Okay.
Let me rephrase.
Okay, well, I know how that felt.
Yeah, I was about to say, let me rephrase. I would assume you'd have to feel like the world is almost ending.
I don't think they do. I think suicide's a very...
They just got bored one day and said, you know what, I've done it.
Bored.
And then killed themselves.
No, but I think it's a very compulsive act. And a matter of fact, there have been many psychologists who say the last thought that goes through a suicide's head is, I shouldn't have done that.
How do you know? They're because dead!
No, because a lot of people who have tried to commit suicide and not gotten it done say that. That's the last thing that runs through their head.
They didn't make it done. They didn't do it.
No, they don't try it again. It's because they realize, oh my God, I shouldn't have done that.
Because your brain doesn't like to die.
Right, but that's the point. It snaps you out of it. If people knew you were going to commit suicide, guess what? They'd be around you. They would make sure they'd have you committed.
I would be very... Look, if somebody in my family... No, let me rephrase. If I was ever suicidal for whatever reason, and somebody in my family found out, and you had me committed, I promise you I'm only going to be more upset.
That's why people who commit suicide don't tell you about... Anytime somebody says, I'm thinking about suicide... No, I'm not saying I brush it off, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to. Because you wouldn't tell me if you were going to. Why would you tell me? That's the point.
Why wouldn't you tell me?
Because I'm going to... Go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Oh, really? Okay, let's get a hamburger. No! The first thing you're going to do is you're going to stop and say, oh, well, we need to stop that. We need to do something about that. You can't do that. I think that's more of an attention getter.
Oh, no. Like, I know somebody who works in I don't know what you want to call it. They're like a child psychiatrist. They told me that, because, you know, child psychology, you're dealing with troubled kids. I was told that one time one of the kids, like, grabbed them by the arm and squeezed hard enough to leave bruises. And I jokingly was like, I would have smacked that kid. Now, obviously, I was joking because obviously you can't smack the kids. And then, you know, they obviously didn't realize I was joking because they just didn't. And they said that, you know, well, you can't hit the kids. And then I was like, well, obviously. And then they hit me with, but we do restrain them. If I was mad enough at you to hurt you before and now you're going to restrain me? I'm only going to get more upset. And then she says, oh, yeah, but yeah, usually they do. And when they do, we restrain them to a bed and put them in isolation. This is good for my mental health. I can feel the healing coming right now. Like, do you know, like, this sounds like, I don't know.
What are your options?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't, I wouldn't, like, lock them to a bed and throw them in isolation.
They do that with people in hospitals.
I don't know. It's just, I wouldn't do it.
If you're pulling out your machines, what are you going to do? Let them pull out their machines and die?
Yeah, why not?
No.
You have the right.
Because I think, see,
you have the right to deny medical treatment. You had first off, second off.
No. Whoa. I think you had a very, you said something the other night that was one of the dumbest things I'd ever heard. That's a good way to start the conversation, isn't it? You said, and this was off the air, I think. You said you wanted to be unmedicated. If you knew that you were dying,
oh yeah,
because you wanted to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one, first of all, you assume that if you're that close to death, that you know what's going on anyway. 9 times out of 10, you do not. If you're at the point where your brain is dying, you no longer know what's going on, whether you're on any medication or not. Things are shutting down. You're seeing things in the room. You have no idea what that... You always place everything as you feel now.
Nobody...
You don't feel the same. And by the way, if your pain's a 10, no. You're not sitting there saying, well, I'm just going to bite my teeth on this one.
Why not? I'm dying. I don't think it really matters.
Because you're in tremendous pain. You can't think of anything else.
I'm dying. It doesn't change anything.
They don't come in and tell you
There's
that.
There's no negative.
They don't tell
Where's
you
Where's the negative? I'm in pain for the last, like, 30 seconds of my life.
They don't come in and tell the patient they're dying.
I want to know I'm dying. Tell me I'm dying.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do that.
Well, I think we should fix that.
You know why they don't do that? Because people tend not to rally if you've told them they're dying. Oh, by the way, I think you're dead. No. You to say, listen, you're not doing very well. You got to try to pull out of this. But they're going to pull the family aside, and they're going to say, listen, things don't look very good. So the idea that you're in perfectly logical mind.
I didn't say perfectly logical. I just, look.
And who are you going to tell anyway? Like, you're going to know the moment you die? No, you're going to be asleep.
Yeah.
But you think you're going to be like, okay, here it is. No. You're not going to know a belch from a heart explosion.
I just want to know what it's like.
But you're not going to know.
Well, only if God doesn't exist.
And if it does, doesn't matter if you're asleep or not. Doesn't matter if you're medicated or not.
I want to know what... Well,
see,
know.
So once again, a dumb statement.
I got to know...
A dumb statement.
I just want to know what it's like, you know?
Spoken like somebody who's not been in the room when somebody's dying.
Yes, you're right.
So you'll see what the situation looks like.
I don't care what it looks like. I want to know what it feels like. I want to be the person
I'm
in the bed.
They are no longer talking normally to you. It's not drugs. Their brain is shutting down. Their organs are shutting down. It doesn't just like that, you're out. You go from perfectly healthy to whoop, lights out. You are on a downhill slope. And it's every day getting worse and worse and worse. And you know what? If you get the serious pain of death, chances are your heart's not functioning properly anymore.
I don't think that's not enough. That much.
Oh, no. They look perfectly happy when they die.
Well, when they're dead, I mean, you know, yeah, it's fine.
But again, if your heart is not functioning anymore, your brain is not getting the oxygen that it needs. You are not in the room anymore.
If my heart gives out, my brain's still going to be around for at least, you know...
It doesn't all give out at once is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's over a process of days, weeks, months. You just get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, nobody dies of old age. Your organs just kind of give up.
Right, but so...
Or you would die from, so you die from an illness so associated with
you're not
with
sitting there
age.
Having a conversation like this with full...
It's not about you. It's about me. I want to know.
But you're not going to know. There's no way to stop it. You're not going to know.
Well, you know, I'm never going to know if you drug me to the point where I can't know.
They drug you because you're screaming and yelling.
I'll tell you what. Just muzzle me. Can't scream, can't yell, save your drugs, save yourself the money. Just don't worry about it. I'll be fine. I'm dying. Like, there's no need to waste drugs on me. I am dying.
You won't know. You just don't know. How do you know that moment you're dying? Doctor can't even tell you that moment you're dying.
Doctors come up and be like, you got about 2 weeks left to live.
No, they don't do that.
Maybe not to me.
But they're going to do it to anybody because they don't really know.
They'll take a guess.
You know what they usually say? Well, if we pull the plug, that's going to be it. Now, do we know how long it's going to take after that? Nah, we really don't know. Could be 5 minutes, could be 5 hours, could be 5 days. Don't really know. But you're not sitting in there playing euchre. At that point, you're out.
Again! I'm not saying...
Again, here comes a break. Stay tuned, we'll be back.
And then you consider this source.
And then just...
I just made up that answer.
And then onward and upward. I like
mean, you always...